Well, welcome everybody. This is Jyoti, and I want to give great thanks to Margene, who's back there in that green room making all this magic happen so we can be with each other. I understand that some of you are joining us from over in Europe, and so I give great thanks to you because it's in the middle of the night for you. So really devoted people that are showing up here. I'm going to go ahead and lead us in a meditation and a prayer so we can set our container tonight, and that'll allow more time for folks to join us as well. So if you would just sit down and get comfortable where you are and take a 3 big breaths. Just take a deep breath in, and when you breathe out, just let all that tension that you may have picked up from scurrying through your day, breathe it out, let it go, and let it be. Release the stress. You can give it sound to hear it go. Now take another deep breath, and this time breathe out in all of your possibility and breathe out anything that would get in the way of that possibility. Breathe it out and let it go. And with your next breath, I want you to breathe in this time, and I want you to connect it to that beautiful starlight that lives right in the center of yourself in the golden hara where the prana is gathered. Breathe into that space and let that light get bright. And as it brightens itself, it starts to spread a vibration, and that vibration starts to get stronger. Breathe out anything that would not allow you to fully light yourself tonight. Breathe it out and let it go and let it be. Now with your next breath, breathe into that light, and this time it's getting so bright that it's turning into like a golden molten look. And it's starts to spill out of that golden hara, and as it does, vibration starts to get ever more strong, the brightness of the golden light ever more bright, and it moves itself into every cell in your body until it fills your entire form, and you see yourself sitting in a lotus position as the golden Buddha that you are. Now take another deep breath, and this time breathe into that golden Buddha form that you are and let it brighten itself ever so much more. And as it does, it begins to glow and move its energy out into the auric field all around you, creating your own sacred space, your own space of authenticity. Now take a moment and allow yourself to see us all together sitting in a circle in our golden Buddha bodies, and take a small piece of that golden thread coming off the light and move it around clockwise in the circle, connecting each of the Buddha bodies that is finding its way to sit in our circle with us tonight as we share the wisdom of the earth. And in this connected, heart-opened Buddha body circle, we call upon the triple white light of Christ to encircle this space, allowing nothing into it that can harm or bring any ill intention. We call upon all the helping spirits and the guides and the ancestors to gather around us in yet a second circle to guide and protect us in our work today. May this protection last if every morning when we wake up and take that first breath, might we connect with this golden Buddha circle and the protection that's been called in so that we can walk through these times of great change when the shadow is moving, transforming, transmuting as we do so, walking and being the peace we have prayed for so long. Mother, Father, God, we sit here in this holy circle tonight, and I'm giving great thanks to you. I'm giving great thanks for you for this beautiful day when the sun rose and announced another day was in front of us. And we all took that same shared breath and stood up in ourselves so we could walk in this creation, be your instruments of peace. I give great thanks for this great turning time that we've enlisted and come to help and serve in. Help us stay firm in ourselves, open in our hearts, still in our minds, and let us walk more gently on this planet Earth. I thank you for the inspirations that you drop down into us and seed us so that we can find the authenticity that lives inside and let it have its full expression, knowing that we are so diverse in those expressions and we are collaborating and coordinating and unifying those amazing, unique expressions of this creation found in each and every one of us and all around us, in the tall standing ones, in the creepy crawly ones, in the ones that fly, in the wind that blows by us, in the sun that rises and warms our day, in the moon that brightens our sky. I give thanks that this is the day of the black moon. Never heard of that expression before until this day, Creator. So I learned something about when that black moon comes and it's covered so it's dark, that all the stars can be more brightly seen. The meteorites falling, the Milky Way moving through the sky, all will be more visible to us tonight on this North American continent. For these kinds of dances of the cosmos, I give great thanks. I give great thanks, Creator, that you sent me on this journey that went down that Michael, Mary line, those ley lines across the United Kingdom. The things that I saw, experienced, the miracles that presented themselves, the community that grew itself into a global expression of possibility. Of all the dialogues that went on, ceremonies that were held, the teachings that were shared, so much richness, Creator. I give great thanks that you brought this granny along that trail at such an intense pace, but I was still able to maintain it. And for that, this good body of mine, I give great thanks. For the ones that love me and support me and help me make this walk, I give great thanks. I give great thanks, Creator, because in just a little bit I'm going to jump on my pony and this time I'm going to ride off and go have some fun in the sea and with my family, visiting my 98-year-old mom and the family surrounding her. I give great thanks that she's still here and gave me life so that I could stand up in life and find the expression that you had left for me on this trail, and how it's molded me, cultivated me, taught me, challenged me, blessed me. I give great thanks for all the ancestors and all the places they stand. Every one of us has an ancestor standing behind us right now, and for that, Creator, I give great thanks. That the unseen world is getting so involved in intervening in these moments of change, I give great thanks that we have the ears to hear, the heart that's open so we can catch the instruction that nature herself is giving us, so we'll know how to walk through these times with impeccable courage. I'd ask that you go and you look in every heart that's gathered here tonight, that there's anything in there that they're needing touched, anything they need to lift higher to you, anything that needs to open in that wish for fulfillment of full authenticity, you touch them right now. Take care of it like I know you will, and you do. I give great thanks for our community and for all the people, the richness of this community, that we've walked together for 30-plus years, that we've grown up together, that we've fallen down on our knees together, that we've prayed together, that we've played together, that we've cultivated joy and life together, that we've sat with each other through birth and death and times of challenge, times of celebration. I give great thanks for all these things, Creator, and so much more. I ask that you touch our leaders around this planet. You visit them in their dreams, or you help them have one of those magical moments that go, aha, and something wakes up and consciousness arrives, and they are able to see what really is in front of us to tend to. I ask that you go stand with the protectors that were in Hawaii, that are standing with this sacred mountain, that are standing up for the earth and saying that sacred site belongs to Mother Earth and they're there to care for it. And we have to be very, very mindful of what we do on this sacred site. You give them strength and you keep them safe. You're waking up some of the politicians there. They're beginning to see what respect of sacred means, Creator, and they're beginning to stand up with the original people and give voice that way. And oh, for that, Creator, I've been praying for a long time. So I give great thanks for all the different movements that are moving around on this planet right now, that are breaking through to create and open the door to a new day. I give great thanks. I ask that you look in my heart right now, Creator. If there's anything that I should have touched during this time, if you just open it and lift it and tend to it, I would give great thanks. For my children's, 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 children, we are walking this good road with you. And I give great thanks that by your grace we are awake to have these kinds of dialogues, to dream weave together, and to appreciate the moment that we're in. Let us keep our hearts and minds in the sunshine, so the light will always show the way. This is my prayer. This is my prayer. This is my prayer. Aho. So I just want to welcome you, each and every single one of you here, to sit in this circle here by my fireplace. I've got my fire going in here. It's one of those ones that are electrical, so I don't have to waste the wood during hot season time, though the earth seems to be on fire right now with the heat waves that have been hitting first across our continent and now hitting Europe and hitting the Arctic. And I think people are beginning to realize this is not just something we all made up and we're afraid of. We are really in a crisis with climate change. I'm so happy to also just remind you and announce our mothership, which is our membership we call the mothership, which is allowing us, and thank you, Marjean, and her whole team for the design of this and for putting it into motion. They have got podcasts that they're gathering. They've got a lot of calls that will be available to people. This call, we've dedicated ourselves to until November will be the last one of these calls. We committed for this year, and now we will move and flow into the mothership. So if you haven't been there to explore what that might mean for you and how you can utilize that work to not only help and support you and the work that you're doing in your local communities, with your families, with your own global movements, you can go to our website at centerforsacredstudies.org, and then there's a button that says Mothership, and it will give you all the information you might know. If you have any questions, then please let us know. But join us, because right now, as I was mentioning in my prayer, everything I see is this is the time for high tide collaboration. And one of the things I'm excited about that we're trying to get done through some of our beautiful volunteers that are helping with all this is to really map out where so many of our community live and what they're doing in the world to support their community and this prayer of unity amongst all nations. And to really address some of the pieces as nature is directing us. So stay tuned. There's always more. And we're listening to your inspirations as well. So when they come through and they flow through, let us know about it, because that's how all of this grew. It was not just one or two people. It was definitely a community affair. And for that, I'm very thankful. So tonight, Darlene actually suggested that maybe since I've just been on this long pilgrimage, that I might take this hour that we have together to explore some of what I experienced while I was on this pilgrimage. I left on June the 7th and arrived on June the 8th. And for the first time, the ministers of Europe decided they wanted to have a Maitri breathwork over there. So we started off with that ceremony of healing, of individual healing. It was a beautiful, beautiful day. We did some work around the fountain, and then I had the great privilege to perform a wedding over there. And then we went on the pilgrimage. So that was kind of what started the journey. I hadn't heard about the Mary Michael lines before, and the way that they've been described to me is that they're ley lines that literally go around the planet. I don't know, I'm still researching and learning more about it, but I know the pathway it made through the United Kingdom. It comes in through the North Sea, which is where we started. We started at Hopton-on-the-Sea, this little village there. And the lines run sometimes parallel with each other. Sometimes they kind of move around. So one might move closer to the other one, and at times they cross each other. And of course, those spots are really, really powerful. And all the line was. We went with an intention because a couple of hundred years ago, there was some really dark energy that was placed upon the lines that would oppress them and keep them entangled so they couldn't flow more with their own true nature. So our intention was to really go down those lines to restore them. To do payments is how they would be. It would be talked about. With my four original peoples in Colombia. And the way they described the payment to an offering to me really helped me see that, because an offering is like, if I've got my altar and I want to put some roses on my altar, I go to the store and I buy them, I bring them, I arrange them, I put them on my altar, and that's my offering. A payment would be that I would have to acquire a piece of land, I would dig a hole, I would get this rose bush, I would plant it, I would make sure that I nurtured it, watered it, kept the weeds away from it, took care of it so it started to blossom and bloom, and then I would say prayers with that rose bush and then collect the roses, and that would be my payment when I bring it to the altar. So you can feel the difference in the two. So for me, this was a pilgrimage that really was a payment, because we were... I was gone for 6 weeks on this journey, or almost 6 weeks. I had two mornings off the entire journey. Mostly it was in tents that we were staying as we were traveling in car and then walking great kilometers into sacred sites and into villages that were in ruins but were seen as holy. Along the trail, we were meeting several druids that came and joined our group and other groups that maintained or sustained these sacred sites through ceremony, through prayer, through ritual. Along this same line, we would go into what was called the Kiva gathering. And this was one of those moments for me that was like when you kind of sit back and you go, wow, life is such a fascinating creature. How our lives are weaved when we don't even realize they're being weaved. And the reason I say that is because about 35 years ago, I went to my very first sweat lodge in Switzerland with a man named Tigre Ramon Perez. And he and I really recognized each other when we first met. And he would and I would become dear, dear friends and keep our relationship going strong when I came back from Switzerland to live in the United States again. He had a vision, and in this vision, we would go to a different place each year. Annually, he would hold this gathering, and it usually was up to about 400 people that would come from all parts of the world. We would dig out a kiva, a hole that was about 9 feet deep and 9 feet across, and build an earth bridge down into the kiva so that the elders could walk inside the kiva into the earth, and that's where the sacred fire was kept. It had a different name than it does now. Now it's called the Kiva, And just a couple of years ago, I was visiting with one of my spiritual daughters, Bethany Yarrow, in New York, and I was introduced to Mama Lorenzo, who has become very involved now with our Fountain Project and also with the Eagle Condor Prophecy. And that council that I went to last March, he's very connected to all these things. For that council, he's called the messenger of the gods of the earth. So we're sitting there. They had asked me to help set up a Skype call with some people that were trying to reach the women in Israel, I believe it was, and so we could do some work. They wanted to do some work over there and for peace. During that conversation, they started talking about the Kiva, and I had heard about the Kiva, but I didn't realize it was Tigra's vision that was still marching. They had a book on the table, and I picked it up, and I opened it, and there was Tigra's face looking right at me, and that's when I realized it was the Kiva. So you can imagine that when I'm 71 years old, that in the United Kingdom, that I would be invited as a wisdom keeper to come there and to participate as an elder and to walk down into the Kiva and lay my own prayers down was very, very amazing moment for me about how life weaves us and how we meet ourselves along the trail. So the Wisdom Keepers are a group of individuals that are all pulled together through a vision that Ben Christie held about wanting the wisdom of the earth to become more involved in helping to open the youth, particularly through music festivals. And so we gathered, most of us there, at the Kiva and then continued on down the Michael Mary line. We would go into Avalon, and then we would go into Glastonbury Festival, which had 270,000 people. 70,000 of those were just the staff. So it was very fascinating to get there. Well, first, a year ago, I had gone to sit with some of the families that had been putting on this festival for 50 years next year. So it's grown from this family's inspiration into what it is today. We would all sit down at a tree. Darlene was with me. This family was with me. Ben was with me. And we would take a holy smoke, a prayer, to pray about the Wisdom Keepers coming into the Glastonbury Festival for the first time. So 1 year later, I come back, and we get there a couple of days early, and now it was all green fields and cattle and things like that when I was having my prayer. But when we arrived, they had the infrastructure pretty much in place 2 days before it would all open to the public. And then one night I went to bed, and when I woke up the next morning, all those green fields were full of tents. So as far as the eye could see, it was totally a little village that arrived. There was a lot of challenge to be in a festival that's that large, you can well imagine. But the connections that we made and the deep feeling that the Wisdom Keepers were starting to grow for us and amongst us and with us, we really feel like we're a global family, moving prayer on this earth and listening to the instruction of nature. So some of what we had to do was they asked us to help in the opening of the festival, which was live stream, I'm told, to 18 million people. I haven't seen any of that yet, so I haven't had a moment to go looking either. But they had a fireworks at the very end of the show of that opening that was off the charts amazing, just amazing. I've never seen fireworks make so much incredible sound as they whistled and moved through the stars. It was remarkable. They also had Extinction Rebellion, and if you haven't heard of Extinction Rebellion, you will. A friend of mine, Gail, is the one that mothered this movement and brought it into form, along with a lot of other amazing people. And it's an awakening that's happening in England that's really standing up to bring attention to the crisis moment that we're in with climate change. And they're really they're standing up in modeling that way you hold prayer like they did at Standing Rock, to do this in a peaceful way and to stand with what we want to be instead of fight for it. So Extinction Rebellion was there and part of our camp. They led a pilgrimage through the festival one day. Kura Kindi, which was one of the wisdom keepers from Ecuador, did a calling and opened up that procession. And then we, all the wisdom keepers, got behind this pink boat that said, "Tell the truth" on it. And that's what we marched behind in a ceremonial way behind this pink boat till they threw the festival grounds and then they parked it. And then I was asked to climb up in the pink boat so that I could offer some words and a prayer. And the mother came and made her statement. I would love to share this with you and will. They're making a video of this pilgrimage that we've been on, but also things that happened at Glastonbury, and that'll soon go out into social media. So when I get it, we'll try to make sure that we post that on our website at least. So we did a water blessing and for hundreds of people. There were teachings and sharing of knowledge and healing processes that were going on and ceremonial work that was going on to help in those teachings and healings. Then we left Glastonbury Festival and we continued on down the Michael Mary lines until we got to where it meets the sea at the South Sea, and that's the Michael Mound. And during the day, the tide goes out, so there's a walkway so you can get up to the Michael Mound. When the tide comes back in, it's like an island there. So that was kind of remarkable and magical and mystical as well. And so we traveled through there. We had some people that take care of that sacred place, and so they took us around, showing us where the Michael and Mary lines ran, and we said prayers all the way across till we got to the sea. And now, when we started this march early on, some women that care took one of the sacred villages there, some of the ruins, had handed me what looked like a little a beehive that had cloth wrapped around it. They'd asked me if I could carry it down the line. So I had done that, and I'd taken it all to the standing stones, the circles that we had been through, to the ruins that we had been through, to the marches across Hill and Dell following this line. And then when we got there, I asked the caretakers, well, I told them the story and said, can I leave this? Can I plant it so it can really continue this prayer out in the sea and follow that line as it goes through the sea till it enters the next continent? And the caretaker was wonderful, and he said, I'm sure there's just the right place waiting for it. And sure enough, as we got to the last place where we were going to do our last prayers, there was this little area that looked like a tiny little cave at the base of a wall that was facing the sea. And I was able to put it right inside, and it was open to the sea. So it had a little shelf it sat on there so we could offer gifts, we could offer our prayers and our songs and really complete things in a good way. Now, the rest of the wisdom keepers went on the next day to one last point and a cave where water ran through it where they could swim and be blessed by the sea. I had to leave and go to a train and a plane, flew back to my children's home, where they were gone for July the 4th, and washed all my clothes in the suitcase that had survived the mud and the rains and the sleets the first half of the journey, and repacked to get in the cab the next morning at 5 and head to Peru and to meet my dear friends Mindahi and Kin, who have been on this call in the first couple of months we had it, talking about prophecy. And we went and taught at a university in Lima and then caught a plane to Cusco to meet with the Quechua people. And they took us to some of their sacred sites so that we could have ceremony and prayer there. They took us into their little villages where we met with whole communities and heard about some of the work, amazing work that they're doing with the children to keep this one woman we worked with is working with over 2,000 Quechua children, and they are teaching them the original way so that they help in the fields and they plant their plants in sacred ways with prayer. And there were some children there that were recognized for their work while we were in the community. So they're celebrated also for remembering and sustaining this knowledge that has been here since the original days. Then we left and flew from Cusco Colombia to Bogota, where we would meet with Mama Lorenzo. And Mama Lorenzo is the one that had seen that the fountain was going to be gathering its staff. So we were particularly going to meet with him because he's had our staff now in consultation and sacred ways activating these staff. So we would meet in a circle where they would start to share with us what the staffs are telling them about some of the mission of what we need to do in order to bring unification and to deepen and open the prophecy of the Eagle Condor. So I'm really humbled by all of this. I sometimes end up sitting in these places and I'm so amazed at again at how Creator weaves things and the opportunities that she's providing us so that we can walk as a community in a strong way through these times. So I want to share this part too, because you're all a part of that. You're all, if you're on this call, if you're a part of this community, if you're in your communities, then you know we're connecting our Golden Buddha communities right now, and we're sharing our resources so that we can move more quickly in this time. Another woman that was in Glastonbury with me was the woman, Atosa, who started Amazon Watch, and she's a humble being, inspired and driven. And when you listen to some of all of the things that are coming together right now, you won't lose hope. In fact, quite the opposite happens. I'll speak for myself. I am always humbled and amazed at how the design that nature is giving us, and that we're walking in a time. It's like when I spoke to the crowd from Extinction Rebellion. You know, one of the things that came that day was that, you know, this is not a time that things went wrong. It's a time to remember that we're at the end of a cycle, and all cycles end with the deterioration before it moves into its rebirth and to its next stage of evolution. And that's why, and this is a big time. In India, they have the clocks on the wall that show the march of evolution, and it's like from 12 to 1 is 2,500 years, and 1 to 2 is another 2,500 years, and so it goes until there's 26,000 years, and the Kali Yuga is at the very, very end when that clock's about to turn completely and start a whole other cycle of 26,000 years. So many of us chose to come in right now because this is such a high tide for our soul. Many of us are bodhisattvas and have done this turning time before and know how to do it and will remember and are assisting in it. And that Kali Yuga is a very small little slice compared to all the other. Now, once you go through the Kali Yuga, then you move into 5,000 years, they say, which are two turns on that clock of golden age. And so it will move and march itself around again. So working this way at this kind of time and having the great privilege to have the guidance of nature as given to us by the consultations of the four original people, out of Colombia, as well as our other indigenous relatives that we have come together and declared a solidarity in this movement for and with the earth. The new story that's imprinted in us is starting to reveal itself and will reveal itself. So we met in this consultation, and this affirmation of the work that we're doing got even stronger for me. Then we would meet with some of the other, Mama Manuel would fly over with his son so that we could have consultation with him in regards to the fountain, in regards to some of the projects that we're trying to move globally. And guidance was given so that we would know how to do some practices that would continue to leave open the doors and remove the barriers so we could move more quickly, because the clock is ticking. And it's a amazing alchemical moment in time. And the thing I know about alchemy is timing is its secret element, its most significant element. And timing is what makes everything go like the crystal, click, 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 click. And there it comes, becomes that beautiful, clear crystal. And we're in one of those moments right now where the time element has become more loudly pronounced, if you will. Then I got on a plane and I came back home and tried to take care of so many things that I needed tending to because I'd been gone so long. Got things prepared, and now after I get off this call tonight, I'm going to go, as I said in my prayer, my whole family, my kids and my grandkids are going to go visit my 98-year-old mom and family, and then go to Florida all together and just let my toes dangle in the surf and start to allow myself to integrate some of what all of this has stirred in me. And as I've been preparing for that, I'm also preparing because I'll be going back to England in September, where there's going to be a flourishing diversity summit. And they're bringing indigenous relatives from lots of different places. And they're bringing people of import to have what they're going to call listening sessions, where those people of import that are well known will be sitting there to listen and not to really necessarily come to do a presentation or to speak to us, but more to ask, what does the earth need us to do right now to address the crisis we're in with climate change? So that's kind of the landscape that I've been running through, that's been running through me. What I will say is that as I was meeting with so many of these indigenous elders and in ceremony, there is an urgency, and it's not an urgency that is coming out of a fear zone. It's an urgency that's coming out of if I ask for an image around it, what I get is it's like that quickening time of birth when everything's, it's coming, it's here. So there's a need to be attentive, to be mindful. And we are walking through a big stir of things, a big storm, if you will, of sorts. And we have to be very conscious and careful with one another. That's why sitting in these kinds of circles and getting affirmations from the earth guardians along our path validates that we're staying in alignment with our mission, that all of those things are coming together right now in the most auspicious way. And what they're also saying, you know, is it's like you must stay informed so you listen to what's happening as the ending starts crashing itself down. You must stay informed, but our focus needs to stay on that which is breaking through. So I really want to encourage you to do your practices. If you don't have one, you can get up in the morning and you can go out with a glass of water in the morning and you can greet that morning sun and you can give great thanks for this day that you're standing in. and whatever else your heart wants to say to the beginning of that great day for you. And then you can offer it, if your family can all stand out there with you, and they can, you offer four drinks to the earth first, and then you take four drinks and you pass it to the rest of the family or those that will be standing, to all say good morning to yourself in this good day you're standing in, and give thanks. So there's a lot to pay attention to, huh? And there's a lot coming in through people's dreams. There's a lot coming in through big kind of moments with ourselves right now as we continue our investigation into self. The study with life is very robust, I would say. And so before I open it up to people and us dialoguing, I just wanted to read something that someone sent in to me, and I'm so sorry that they didn't put their name on it, so I cannot give credit to this author. But when I was looking today trying to see what wanted to come into the call tonight, this jumped out at me, and so it's called Mother. The earth, she will be healed. The divine mother manifested as rock and water, blood and bone, holding the beauty of cycles turning, birth, growth, transformation, death, birth, renewal. She knows what to do. As it is within our own bodies, nature contains inherent wisdom of how to heal itself. The earth, she will be healed in the blink of the universe's ancient eye. We have come to walk upon her, to plant seeds, learn, love, and be free. All in the same breath, we destroy and disrespect and forget. We also birth, honor, and realize we are channels. Divine love from the infinite stars flows through us, connecting mother, father, earth, and sky. In our deepest beingness, we contain all of creation, all healing, all darkness, all light. Our divine mother has given us birth. May we trust in her wisdom and live in her ways. The earth, she will be healed. Light our path. That kind of said it all in regards to the journey that I took down the Michael Mary line. Not only restoring and reactivating it as we went, and we've gotten a lot of feedback from things that have kind of been ripples from that work that have gone out, but also what it taught us and what we had to confront, some of the imbalance that has happened between the masculine and feminine over the years, and how we need to come back to that balance, and how significant it is when that masculine feminine goes into that sacred marriage of union and our full authenticity of presence arrives in our form. This is the walk of life and the school we're in, so we can do just that. So I want to take a moment now and open things up for you to ask questions or share your own inspirations. And so, you know, I'll remind you to push 1 on your phone. That will let Margine know that you've raised your hand. And then we can go from there. I want to hear from you. There's magic in the air. You also may be coming because there's challenges you want to share, or things that you had in your aha moments, or things that you're struggling with and moving through. Whatever your heart may want to speak. They say when there's silence, the angels are moving through.
Mm-hmm. Sharon, your mic is open.
Thank you. Hello, Margine, Darlene, and Joy T. This is Sharon Kine from Philadelphia. Thank you so much.
Hello.
Hi. I would love to hear more from Joy T about some of the auspicious integration? What's happening that's giving you hope? That's what I would love to hear. Thank you so much. You give me hope. Thank you. By the way, an owl just landed. An owl came last night in my backyard, and it just came back about an hour before Joy T called. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, the owl is, sometimes they call the owl the night eagle, and it's really strong medicine. So I always tell people, if the owl comes, watch and see if there's going to be a teacher of the owl medicine come so that you can take care of things in just the right way. Owl also comes when, Athena had a white owl that used to sit on her shoulder, and when she needed to get messages from the gods, that she, the white owl, would go there and bring back her instruction. So I'll leave you into the study of the owl, but it seems to be coming our way tonight. So I'll just honor that owl spirit that way. And interesting that the owl's coming on this day, which they are saying is the black moon. Had you ever heard of that before? I had never heard of a black moon before. So I can't wait tonight to see the stars in their glory. What makes it auspicious? What makes it auspicious is, it's like, I'll just give an example. The Wisdom Keepers, we've all been on, we have now a WhatsApp kind of channel. And so we're all working together even after we've separated from one another. And everybody is on their ponies. Everybody is traveling right now. All of my elders and teachers and friends are in motion right now. We're getting the instruction, and we're following that instruction, and it's leading us into where this next stage is going to take us. And so it's like you listen to what happened in Hawaii, and you hear that they've been trying to get this telescope up there on this sacred site, this sacred mountain that is very sacred to the original peoples there of Hawaii. And they've protested and they've done things to try to block it all these years. And now it's really in a contest because they were about to start bulldozing their sacred mountain. And I don't know if you watch the news, but there's a lot of people that have showed up from lots of different parts of the world to stand up in a peaceful way for the earth and for what sacred sites mean to her and why they're necessary. And now I just heard this morning on the news that I know the governor was trying to get around that and squelch it all and start coming after the what he calls the protesters. We call it the protectors. And now there's another politician within that system that has gone and is standing with them and is recognizing what they're talking about sacredness and how it is going to disturb the manu on the island itself if this is allowed. And so it's starting to get into a different kind of dialogue. Those are some of the things that light up my hope. You know, some of what we just saw happen in Puerto Rico. Things that are happening that are where a unification of spirit is arousing itself through people. And they're standing up in not out of aggression. They're standing up. And that lights up my hope. When I start listening to Atossa and what she's doing with Amazon Watch to preserve those headwaters of the Amazon, and the lots of people that are coming, organizations, people with some of the one percenters, a lot of people are starting to jump out of the box and say, this is real and we've got to address this in a different way. We've got to wake up. I don't know if you know, I was having this discussion the other day, Terrence McKenna. I don't know if you know of his work or anything, but he was quite an amazing gentleman. And some time ago, he's passed quite some time ago, but he was in his 30s, I guess, and really started going into work with the mushrooms and going into the jungles and learning from the earth and getting these teachings. And it was before 2012 took place. And if you'll remember then, there was a big thing moving because time was coming to an end. The Mayan calendar was ending, and so time was coming to an end. And so there was a whole lot of energy around that and a lot of mixed different kinds of things that were being said about this time. So he went and he asked the plants, he said, is this the end of time? And they said to him, this is the end of time, but not the end of time. This is the end of time as you know it. There have always been parallel universes that are running side by side. And so this time right now that you're entering is a time of self-investigation, and you have to go in and look at yourselves. You have to go in and cleanse yourselves. Whatever, because when the time shifts, and it will come quickly, it will feel like a big shift quickly. When that happens, whatever is living in you, whatever your reality that you've been fostering and cultivating and growing in you, that you put your energy, your focus, everything in, that's the parallel universe you're going to land in. So that's what I see happening around the planet. I see that the Earth is giving this kind of direction, expanding our perceptions and having us look outside of the box. Because as Einstein said, you know, we can't find the solution to the problem in the box where the problem was made. We have to step out of that box. And so I see more and more people stepping out of the box. I see young people that are awake, are so awake, and they are so focused and directed by what is not okay to follow any longer and where we need to be. And that lights up my hope. I see that there are, this is a really good question, so I'm just trying to let it come as it wants to come. And so I see that we are sitting more and more at the table of diversity, and it's not just, you know what, I'm 71, so when I started walking this trail, nobody wanted to talk about Kundalini or about consciousness or about evolution. There were these little spiritual groups over here and there that you could go to and find that kind of knowledge. But this is something now that is in our mainstream waters. So I have hope. When we did our water ceremony and water blessing at Glastonbury, there was a woman there that was the water bearer for that territory. She was a hermit, and she came out of her hermitage to come into 270,000 people. Now that's a payment. And it was hard for her. I could see her struggle with it. But after our water ceremony and the things that happened and the blessings that we saw, and the stories that people came to tell us about later about what the water was reminding them of. The water was awakening in them. The water was healing in them. There was even a picture where this amazing light came down on Kurakindi when I was offering him a water blessing. It was remarkable and beautiful. So Creator's allowing us to get that kind of feedback. That lights up my hope. Our ceremonies and our prophecies, I'm hopeful because our prophecies, they have a design and they have the instruction for our times. So if we can be humble enough to really listen to those instructions and then follow through with those instructions, you know, and people are, and I'm starting to visually see the weaving, and that lights up my hope. So that's a really good question to ask. I think some of it comes is when we shift our perception to that we got to do something about this, or we got to fix this, or something's broken and we got to rescue it. We're still in that very codependent, caged space that we were in before the evolution started to push us out of it. When we move past our splits and into the next place of the heart, we move into whole systems. And whole systems inform us differently. When a whole system is in view for us to look at, we can see the disturbance over here. We can see the sun and the brilliance and the bling over here. We can see the smooth water over here. We can see the full tapestry of it all. And we address it differently when we also understand that this creation, you know, there was a grandmother, they say, that dreamed this all into place, and she's still dreaming us. She's still dreaming us. So it's not that we're not, what I've been told along my pony ride too, it's not that we're not going to get through the keyhole to the new space. No, not at all. Enough of us have awakened to that, and so we're going there. Now what we're deciding is how we're going to go there. How bumpy is this road? How hard is this journey going to be? That's the choicing that we're making now. So I have big hope. I have big hope. Does that answer your question, or at least start to touch it?
Yeah, absolutely. And if there's time, and I know there are probably lots of other questions, and I know you shared with us before that the prophecy has the design, and within the prophecy are the instructions. And if you could at some point just remind us of what the instructions are so we can get cooking even more. Thank you and love you.
I love you too. Well, I'll just touch on it. You know, for everybody's got different parts of this story because it's a whole system, right? So the part that we're working, you know, with our community and with the circles that we all have all merged to become this global family that we are, that started in its official mission motion 30 plus years ago. And so it moved us from the first thing it gave us the instruction to do was to build community, be with community, come back to those original principles in your daily lives. See life as sacred. Follow the rhythm of ceremony of the earth and the cycles of the earth. Pay homage to the ancestors. Enter that territory that is cared by those original caretakers with a thoughtfulness, with mindfulness, out of regard and respect. Make right relations. These were all the things. Allow reciprocity to begin to be what is the energy that sustains and maintains the village. That was the first teachings that were given to us. And that was a lines of prayer that we were to hold that go back to those original times. And we were not to mix them and we were not to change them. We were to protect and keep them safe and walk them through the doorway of the millennia. And just as we were about to walk them through that doorway of the millennia, you know, Center for Sacred Studies came into being because 9/11 took place in our response to that in order to protect that basket and that way of life was to create our church, the Center for Sacred Studies. And out of that, the instruction came, oh, now if you're going to be a church, the government says, you've got to have ministers. That was a whole big cleansing moment too, because like for our family's global, so minister, the word minister in Prague were the people that used to disappear people during the Russian occupation. So our community being global has had to look at all these different words and language uses and behaviors that are enculturated into us. Some of which are not from nature itself, but what we've imposed upon nature. So it took us that way. Then it put us in a motion where it was about carrying these different lines of prayer from all over the world and awaken the archetype of the grandmother, because that grandmother needed attention. That grandmother had wisdom. That grandmother had a healing source that could allow us to sit by her and in her lap and reconnect with ourselves and forgive ourselves and forgive others so that we could open our compassion again and walk with peace. And then the Creator said, I'm going to give you, this next seed is called the fountain. And that seed, they said when they gave it to me, that's going to be the dot at the end of the sentence, your sentence. I didn't know what that meant. I'm still not so sure. But as I get closer to listening now, what the staffs are going to need to happen and the time frame that that's all going to happen in, this will be the dot at the end of my sentence. What is in that statement about that the earth is given through us to carry? And aren't we the lucky ones that we can be in service to carry something so holy? Then at this work and this life and everything becomes a very different walk with a totally different perception. I don't go into these things, these situations, and wonder if I'll be okay in it, if I'll perform all right, or those kind of places that in my early youth would have plagued me. My work is, can I go and be an empty vehicle so the divine can speak through me, can sing through me, can pray through me, can walk with me and through me, and that's my work. Show up, be empty. So the prophecies then, and as we followed this trail that the earth had put us on, she brought all the people, all the elders that we needed to instruct us. She brought us in deep to this prophecy of the eagle condor, because you see, in the old days, in the original days, the North America and the South America were one land, they say. Then we had a big, big, big shift that took place, and it cracked apart. And when it did, so did the people. They broke apart. And the way the prophecy is told is that the condor has to do with the feminine, has to do with those energies of compassion and heart. And the north, the eagle, had to do with the masculine. And it had to do with the intellect and the mind. And so you see what's... And they said that the eagle would get so strong it almost obliterate the condor. But there would be something that would begin to stir on the earth, and when it did, it would start to bring the eagle and the condor to fly together once again. And when that happened, it would be opening and moving us into the next stage of this earth story. So that's just a little bit of that. There's a lot more, but we don't... You know, I'll just give you some of the sweets.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Cheryl, your mic is open.
Oh, well, good evening, and thank you so, so very much. Just in this short time, so much has been revealed in listening to you. But I sort of have a two-part question, and they're very divergent. The first part is about the wisdom keepers and whether or not they are, were they ever related to, or were they ever a part of the 13 grandmothers? And that's the first question. And the other question has to do with the sacredness of water and in so many places that we have water emergencies, such as Flint. I was born and raised in a small town in Tennessee called Chattanooga, and in my old neighborhood, they're finding lead in the water. And it was a neighborhood where so many people died because of the industry that was there. So, and in listening to you, I've always been that earth warrior, earth mama kind of person, always advocating for that. So at this point, you know, some people just get exhausted and they start to feel the fatigue, and that's not what I do, because prayer and doing the rituals help me. Sometimes I get tired, because we all do, but how do we deal with all of these things
on a daily basis and support so many places that are dealing with pollution from industry, and yet it continues to expand and expand and expand. And you know, we don't, the water keepers in the Dakotas, it's like that story faded away, and we still have the Keystone Pipeline, you know, so it's going on. It seems to be moving forward, even though we do everything that we can to help people understand the danger that we're in. Ice shelves melting, and we pray about it. I live in hope as you do. But I feel like I wonder about the 5G that's coming. You know, what do we do? What do we do, and how do we keep people's attention long enough to help them see? Those are my questions.
They're good questions. I'll answer the first one. And the wisdom keepers, no, they're not in a connection with, as far as a connection with the grandmothers, the International Council of 13 Indigenous Grandmothers. I'm a wisdom keeper, and I was, our community and myself were the ones that convened the grandmothers for the first time. So I walked with them for 10 years and learned a lot and awakened to a lot in myself as the process unfolded and grew us. And I guess as we went around the world and we went into so many, in and out of so many cultures, we learned how, I speak for myself, I learned how to be more flexible in how I enter culture. For instance, when I went into the jungle for the first time for about the first couple of years, I don't like to speak too much unless I'm asked a question. I really want to go in and I want to sit down and I want to observe that culture. I want to see the nuances of that culture. I want to see how they respond to each other, how they interact with each other. I want to understand the protocol that holds that culture in place so I can be respectful. A lot of times we in the West, we rush into things and we ask lots and lots of questions. That mind, that ego comes in and it asks lots and lots of questions rather than coming and sitting and waiting to receive the knowledge of that culture itself. So what I see in the wisdom keepers that came together is that there are some of us that are wisdom keepers that are bridge makers, that have walked between cultures, that have been handed things from the earth to care for, that have to do with earth-based ways of prayer, and to protect and sustain them. They're part of the mission that we carry. They're part of how we've been formed as an instrument in the wheel of this earth and this, and of the wheel of this creation. There are others that are sitting at that table that represent indigenous lines that go back to those original times, and that those ways have been passed up through their generations, and they're sitting there with that knowledge at the table with us. It's about offering a table that allows everybody to start to see how significant the teaching that lives in them is if they can sit down and get quiet and really engage with themselves and get the knowledge of that that's living within. So with all of that said, then that takes me to, yeah, what do we do? It's, you know, one time when Spirit said to me, it's your time now to enter into your beingness. And the first thing I said was, how do you do that? Mm. Now you hear the paradox in that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big thing. You know, one of my friends said the first part of your life, you're human becoming. The next part of your life, you're human doings. And the next part of your life, you're human beings.
Mm.
And some of the prophecy, like up in the grandmother Rita Blumenstein up in the Yupik territory, she says that they have prophecy up there that in the original days there were white birds everywhere, and then the birds turned black. And this time when the birds turn black, we were going to start to learn about our human, our animal nature. And that's what we've been learning. These first three chakras are about our animal nature. Now as we start to move from that power chakra, that third chakra, into the heart, we start into our ascension realm. And as the earth herself is moving into that ascension realm, she's evolving and taking us all with her. And so as she's making that huge leap, they say the birds will turn black, will turn from black into white again, and they've already started to do so. So that nature is giving us a reflection of where we are in the process. If we can, sometimes I sit back and I watch and I go, I said to my husband the other day, I am so amazed at this divine play and what is going on. I mean, on the news this morning, the anchor said, welcome to Life in Reality show, you know. So, and it does. It feels like a reality show that somebody's made up. You know, it's so far out of everything that anybody's ever experienced on this planet as a human race. We're in that kind of a moment right now. So it's like, wow, can you step back and look at the whole system? And I go, wow, what is she going to draw? What is she going to stir here? What is she going to place there? How is it going to twist and turn? I don't know the answer to that question. But I know that if I stay in my present moment, if I bring my full consciousness into my present moment and I take care of what's there right then and there, she's going to take care of how the play unfolds. So I brought my attention to that space, and I think if enough of us start to live in that present moment, you know, it's present, like in English, P-R-E-S-E-N-T. When we live in that moment, we get a present.
Absolutely.
So, because we can get lost in the stories.
Yes.
And some of this instruction that she gave me when we were helping with the Unity concert, we did four of them, and the third year was kind of like with a sweat lodge. That third year was like a healing round, so I knew it was going to be intense, and there was a lot of healing. What we were doing was trying to unify and bring a unification process into play with the Great Sioux Nation. There's 17 tribes, you know, stretched out over several states. And they've been, because of all of the oppression and all of the things that have taken place in the history, they've been splintered terribly. And so the Unity Concert was given to us when a woman that doesn't receive messages, she doesn't have big visions, that's what she would tell you. I would say, well, maybe, we'll see what happens. But she's down at this amazing waterfall at Bethany Yarrow's house. It's a 100-foot waterfall, and it's very special. In fact, indigenous people, when they go to that land, they tell us what an amazing spirit lives in that waterfall. And what we had to do, and Bethany particularly had to do, in order to prepare herself to be a caretaker to that waterfall. So that was, she's sitting down there one day, and we've got all the elders kind of gathered at the house. And we're all talking about how are we going to do this? How can we? We're trying to get the Black Hills back in the management of the original caretakers, the Lakota peoples.
Yeah.
And the waterfall sends her back to the house with a message: you'll do it through music. Start a concert. So all the elders are there, and so we design and agree and put together and start the Unity Concert. That's what's its purpose. So and this is part of this play that's unfolding and moving and in flux. You know, you can't just hold on to anything anymore, right? It's non-attached. So the Unity Concert is doing this. The reason this is in motion is because Obama was running for president, and he came out there and he made a promise to them. They talked to him about the Black Hills and how significant they were to the Lakota peoples, to the Great Sioux Nation. And he said, well, if you unify and bring to me a management plan, we're going to make this different. And so that started us moving this unification process. And when we got to the third year, we were trying to raise money. There was so much, the fractions were now at war with kind of each other, or the pain of what had gone on in our horrendous history that is still going on. We had to walk through it all. And we landed that concert that year, and we landed it with half the budget, and we landed it so that we actually got volunteers that brought food in so we could feed all the people free.
Mm-hmm.
I tell this story because I think I'm a story keeper, and God gave me lots of stories that sometimes can answer the question better than just, yeah, it's this way, that way. It's more, can I bring you a whole nugget of something to look at in response to your question? And that is, if I stay in the moment, and if I'm like with the Unity concert, when I was given that task. So when I put that task in motion, then I've got to it's going to get hard and it's going to get difficult, but I've got to complete that. I've got to plant that prayer, the one that I started. Mm-hmm. If I say yes to it, I've got to think about it carefully, because once I say yes to it, then I got to plant that prayer. I got to finish it.
Mm.
So, of course, so all the stuff that goes in between for that prayer to be fully planted, that's the payment. That's some of the, in our community, we talk about how we're karma yogis, which means that we take the karma when it comes and we burn it. We don't make more karma. We don't react. We're working to respond and burn the karma so we can get to the world's dharma.
Wow.
So it's that kind of motion, So it's like, so what happened to me in my life? So we get that done, and I'm going, whew, we did it. And then the elders come and they say, Jyoti, when you lay something holy like that down, you got to lay it down four times. So now I'm committed to three more times. So in that fourth time when we held it, that's when they signed the proclamation, and we had elders from Australia and from Colombia and from North America, and they were signing this declaration to stand up for the earth and allow her story to be seen again.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think there's a black-white, logical answer. We're entering into a causal realm for the solution. The difference is that in a cause and effect realm, there is a cause and there is an effect. And that's what we've been trained up in and grown up in, and that's what we're used to. But when you go to that other divine space, you move into that archetypal space, that archetypal energy, you open to an acausal realm. So it's not logical anymore. It's a whole system.
Yes. So what I gained from that, and thank you so much for the story, what I gained from it is commitment and faith and absolute faith. Once you commit to it, you know it's going to manifest and it becomes real. So, and it's an amazing story. Thank you so very much. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you. It's a good question. And it's a good question like that. For me, my teachers, the way they grew me in it, is when you find a really good question, then hold on to it, because it's going to bring a lot of different answers.
Mm.
And that's what I call, you've opened yourself to a beautiful spiritual study.
Well, amazingly, in listening to you, what I found out was, I'm a spiritual life coach, but what I found out was I've been doing it all my life and didn't even realize that that was what I was doing. As I listen to the things that you've done, and I'm really interested in becoming a minister of the walking prayer, because that's what I do a lot of. But I did not realize what I was doing and the services that I've done and what I still do. Did not realize that I was actually ministering and doing it in that way. I just did what I do. I thank you so much because you really have opened up some windows tonight for my spirit. Thank you so very much.
Thank you. You've watered mine as well.
Oh, I appreciate it. Wow.
Victoria, your mic is open.
Hi, Jyoti. This is Victoria Sage.
Hey.
I have a question that is probably an unusual one you've ever received, but in all your travels and talking to different lineage holders and stuff, I'm starting to see a lot of changes. Of course, up here in the Northwest, we're burning at the moment a lot. Have they ever mentioned the places to gravitate a little bit more to, where we physically will be a little bit safer in order to keep doing the work we're doing?
That's a good question. You know, I think it's about, again, staying close to your own spirit and trusting that where you're sitting, where your spirit has you sit, is exactly where you need to be. Now, when you're sitting there and you've committed to sitting there, then all the stuff's going to come in to try to distract you or pull you away from that and bring you someplace else. But if you'll stay in that moment and stay where you're sitting, you know, it's like, Sometimes spirit takes me into places that could be dangerous. And I always know that whatever's going to happen, it's ordained. I know that in my being. I don't question that anymore. Because my ego gave up the fight. It absorbed itself and was absorbed. Doesn't mean it's not here, but it means that struggle is gone from me. So it's like I know that where I'm sitting is where I'm going to be ordained. And so is there our mountaintop? You know, I have this beautiful 160-acre, amazing, sacred mountain that where we started Kayamari. It's a crystal mountain. It's a holy mountain. We've had so many sightings and involvement with the Star Nation while we lived up there for 16 years. We held ceremony there. We cleared it because it was the first place that gold was discovered. So, of course, she sent us there, and it was intense energy. It was hard energy. It's got clean water that comes from its own source. Through its well, it's gone into a sleeper stage. So we've been, because she took us off the mountain, we thought we were going to go there, you know, and that's where we'd be, so we could be safe and da 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 da. Well, we raised our kids there, we birthed our kids there. Some of our members died and passed their ashes there. We cleaned, we cleared, we went through purification over and over. We were so dedicated to being, we wanted to be awake. We wanted to be conscious individuals and bring no harm. And when you're conscious, you don't bring harm. When you're unconscious, you step on things and you don't even realize it. So now she popped us off the mountain, and the mountain is sitting up there. Are we safe here where she popped us? I think so. I think, you know, I think whatever's going to happen, that she's got me right where she wants me to be for that moment in time, and I'm invested in that.
Okay, I'll rethink it.
You know, and she'll guide you. She'll guide you. She wants to take care of us. She loves us. And life's a funny thing anyway, isn't it? I mean, what's going to happen when all this play? Will we be here to see it reach into those 5,000 years? I don't know. Are we here for the outcome so we can see what we're doing? Are we here because we're planting something that generations may experience? Are our choices about how we are doing for this moment? Are those choices about, you know, what's going to happen 7 generations from what we leave here, from our choices we're making? I think that pulls us into that whole system again. Mm-hmm. It's a very good question, and I think it's got a really, I think it's got a surprise for you.
Okay, thank you. We'll talk later.
You got it. We've only just begun.
Okay,
so I think I have time for one, you betcha, one more question, and then I'm going on a holiday.
Okay. So, Shona, your mic is open.
Okay. Hi, Jyoti. Thank you for your sharing. In the women's circle I'm in today, we were sort of talking about the new black moon and how that's bringing some big shifts, and I don't know a whole lot about it. I wondered if you could speak to us about that.
Well, I'm just learning about it, like I said. Can you tell me what you learned in your circle?
They didn't talk about it a lot, except that people in our circle were experiencing, even a couple days before this new moon, just a feeling of shifts in a positive direction, shifts mm-hmm. within ourselves, shifts within just the country and the planet, and it feels new, it feels good. And I feel like I've been getting my own insights and guidance for the journey I'm going to be on in the next 6 months. And I was feeling excited and happy about that. And I guess it was just in sync with this black moon, but I also don't know much about it. So thank you.
Well, thank you for sharing that knowledge. Because like I said, I just heard about it today. I'd never heard about a new moon, black moon. What they did say was that the stars, when the moon is in a darkness like that, then it leaves more space for the stars to shine more brightly so that we can see more distinctly the cosmos. So I think it's time for stargazing. As far as shifting goes, I have been receiving emails and information from people saying, Jyoti, what's going on? I'm feeling this big shift happening, and it feels good. So I think there is something shifting. We're picking up on it. Now, the best part of this story is we observe it in our sacred witness. We pay attention to it, but we don't need to make anything out of it. That's the hard part. Because then when we observe it, it starts to flow and move, and we will get a better, more may be revealed than if we had jumped to a conclusion about what it meant too quickly. At least that's some of how it works in me. And we sit in a circle, so there are many different ways to perceive reality. That's the richness of this walk.
Thank
I hope
you.
I touched
That's
on it
very,
enough. Yeah.
Yeah, very helpful. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to have to say goodnight to all of you beautiful people. Thank you for being here and for inspiring me like you always do. I hope that you can leave and flow out and enjoy that black moon and feel those positive shifts moving you, and may your heart stay open, and may you hear the whispers and the shouts of the universe, because the earth is truly dancing that you are in service. So, Marjean, if you would open up the microphones now, we can all hear our voices and say goodnight. I love you guys, and I'll see you in your dreams. Blessings, blessings.
Thank you.
Love and love. Thank you so much.
Love everyone.
Bye.
Thank you.
Love you.
Bye-bye. Good night.
Good night.